As we continue our journey through Lent, we are reminded of John 3:16 from today's appointed gospel reading in our chime hymn, God Loved the World. Next is As Morning Gilds the Skies, first in a harmonically adventurous prelude, and second in a more traditionally sung hymn. Today's anthem is Hear My Prayer, O Lord, a piece for solo soprano and piano by Antonín Dvořák, sung by one of today's hymn leaders, Susan Sands. The hymn after the sermon is What Wondrous Love Is This, and the postlude is titled Wondrous Love, a piece that incorporates What Wondrous Love Is This and When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Unlike a traditional postlude, this piece starts softly, but soon grows to a triumphant ending.
As we begin our time together, envision in your mind's eye the purple candle of hope that is lit on the communion table, shining its light to guide us through this season of Lent and through our time of worship today. It is important that you know that whenever and wherever we gather together to worship, and no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are and to share God's love with you. As we enter into this sacred time together, I want to invite you to join me in taking a deep breath. Invite God's very real presence of peace to fill you as you inhale. And as you exhale, set aside all the worries and anxieties of the day. And join me as we reflect on today's theme. No matter what, our theme for today are words that feel good because they sound like a guarantee. We love when things are 100% locked down and locked in. We like reliable, dependable, and unfailing. It gives us a sense of security and it makes us feel like we're safe. Think of all the things we spend time researching, gathering data about, reading reviews of, just to make sure that what we're getting is tried and tested and true. Our theme of no matter what, however, is not about a 4-star Yelp review or a money-back guarantee. It's about God's love, God's faithfulness, and God's grace. Unfailing, unrelenting, unconditional. And yes, that feels good too. There are no more comforting words to me than the reminder that there is nothing that we could possibly do to make God love us any less or more. Because suddenly, unlike so many things in our world, receiving God's love isn't about the survival of the fittest. It affirms for us that it isn't about us doing our homework and searching for the best deal and playing our cards right. It's simply about being still and knowing that God is God and that God loves us all no matter what. Now, that doesn't excuse us from accountability, but it does give us the freedom to rest in the safety of God's care. May we feel that stillness, that safety, that no matter what love, even now, as we come together, no matter where we are, to worship. In the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. invite you to join me in praying our prayer of confession out loud if you've got the words in front of you from our website or Facebook page, or simply by listening and praying along. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are no strangers to disappointment. We have gotten our hopes up only to be grounded by the reality and fragility of life. We have been allured and assured by illusions of unfailing life insurance. That is, things that we think guarantee a comfortable, happy, and foolproof life. We have invested time, money, and heart in things that seemed 100% reliable, only to realize that more often than not, terms and conditions apply. When we put our full faith in that which is simply of this world, remind us that you are the only source of unwavering, unconditional, no matter what, love and care. Help us to see that there is no coverage that is a substitute for being covered by prayer and the safety of your sheltering wings. Help us to balance living wisely and well in this human world, while also holding on even tighter to your promise of life eternal. Amen. Friends, God's love, God's grace, God's mercy truly is no matter what. There is nothing we can do to make God love us more or less, but when we confess our sins, when we come humbly before God and ask for forgiveness, we can experience that no matter what love in newer, deeper, and more life-giving ways. May we claim the gifts God offers us this day and every day, and may we offer them to others along the way. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 107. I'll be reading verses 1 through 3 and then 17 through 22. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south. Some were sick through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities, endured affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. And let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices and tell of his deeds with songs of joy. And our gospel lesson this morning is a familiar one from John's gospel, the third chapter. The story of Nicodemus and those wonderfully familiar words about God so loving our world. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, We speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. These are God's words for us, familiar yet challenging. May God grant us wisdom beyond our own to understand them. Amen. As always, we have a message for our young at heart and our children, so I'm going to invite our children in particular to tune in at this point. I must tell you, girls and boys, that I was really excited when I learned that your carry-out connection activity for today involves Lifesavers. Those little round hard candies that have been around since I was young, just like you are. When I was growing up, Lifesavers were one of my very favorite candies. And I'm pretty sure some of the grown-ups listening may remember when every year at Christmas time, you could buy Lifesavers in a special box that opened up like a little book. When you opened the special Christmas box, there were several rolls of Lifesavers all neatly lined up inside. My favorite was butter rum. And my second favorite was the assorted flavors because I liked the colors. Now, because I like knowing the story behind things, I did a little hunting around to find out about how Lifesavers came to be. Who dreamed up this candy? Well, it seems there was a candy maker named Clarence Crane over 100 years ago who wanted to create a sweet treat that would hold up better than chocolate during the warm summer months. So he experimented with a variety of shapes and sizes and finally chose the round, flat shape after making a trip to his local drugstore and noticing the piece of equipment that made the pills. Now, I also remember being told that he put the hole in the center of the candy so children would not choke while sucking on it because his own son had died from choking. That, however, is not true, thankfully. And you still have to be careful when eating Lifesavers or any kind of hard candy that might get lodged in your throat. So what do Lifesavers have to do with faith? Well, whether we're talking about those wonderful, yummy, sweet treats or the Lifesaver rings used by lifeguards when someone needs to be rescued from the water, a Lifesaver is always a good thing. And a Lifesaver is exactly what God is. Now, that doesn't mean God comes along and swoops us up like a lifeguard swooping up a drowning person who is in trouble. But what it does mean is that God is there for us, no matter what. You heard Pastor Addie say those words just a little while ago. God is within reach when we are afraid, when we don't know what to do next, when we feel all alone, when we're hurting, inside or out. And God does not melt when it gets hot or fall apart when the going gets rough. God holds up. God stays right by our side no matter what the weather of life is like. Since I don't have my own carry-out connection box, I think I may just have to go out and buy myself a roll of Butter Rum Lifesavers and keep them handy as a reminder to me to say thank you to God for being my lifesaver, a lifesaver I can count on through thick and thin, in good times and bad, when I'm happy and when I'm sad. In fact, let's take time now to thank God and to ask God to help us remember our lifesaver is always within reach. And as we end our time of prayer, we will join together in praying the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Loving God, you are our lifesaver, the one who gives us life and the one who carries us through our lives every single moment of every single day. Thank you. Help us to remember to ask for your help when we need it, and to know that even when things are really hard, especially when things are really hard, you wrap your loving arms around us. Like a ring of love and care, you keep us afloat and surround us with strength, hope, and love. All of these things we pray, remembering that your Son Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."